This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Jerry, you attended last week's annual Dairy Forum in Orlando, put on by the International Dairy Foods Association. What were the key takeaways?
Well, the key takeaway for me, Lee, related to the dairy markets. You know, it wasn't anything that was being said very loudly or directly from the podium, but the conversations in the hallway, people are blaming the government shutdown as much as anything for the significant declines in dairy product prices at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Jerry Dreyer, analyst and editor of the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter.
Tuesday.
The Rural Health Initiative is a nonprofit program. Joining us to tell us more, the executive director, Rhonda Strabel, who's been with the organization since its inception.
I have. I helped start the program in 2004, and really what it stemmed from was an idea that came from a chat group. It's called Community Health Action Team. How can we help our community be healthier, be more involved in their healthcare choices? One lady kind of off the cuff said, if you want to see your husbands, you're going to have to come to the farm. And that's where the idea was born.
Wednesday.
We've developed a system to intelligently ventilate the barn rather than just automating the barn ventilation.
Intelligently, that's a key word there. How do you do that?
The system actually adapts to inside and outside variables, so it's always looking for the peak optimization and the proper operating curve to maximize both efficiency and the volume of air going through the facility. So a huge game changer when you're talking about our difficult times with milk prices where we're at. You can literally keep the ventilation strategy of your barn intact, but slash your electric bill.
Thursday.
Joining us to discuss here, Tom Vilsack, President and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. And Tom, without a trade deal with Japan, it kind of sounds like the U.S. dairy farmers are out left in the cold here.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, this is an interesting time with reference to our relationship with Japan. We did a report asking the question, what is the current situation with dairy in Japan, and are there opportunities, and how well is the U.S. positioned to take advantage of these opportunities? And what we found was, with a declining population, there is still a significant increase in cheese consumption, dairy consumption in Japan, to the point that we're going to see a significant opportunity for export potential in the next 10 years, so much so that the U.S. share of market could go from as high as 13% as it was in 2017 to 24% of the market in 2027. From a value perspective, that could result in us seeing increases from roughly $300 million in sales to as much as $900 million in sales in just a 10-year period. All of that assumes one thing, which is that the U.S. is in a competitive circumstance, a level playing field with our competitors. The problem, unfortunately, today is that we're not in a competitive situation right now. With the comprehensive and progressive agreement, the TPP, that was established by all the other nations other than the U.S., the EU-Japan Free Trade Agreement, those two trade agreements have created opportunities for our competitors to have a much better competitive circumstance. And we could not only not get advantages of those growing and expanding markets, we could actually lose a portion of the market share that we have today. It could be as much as $185 million of lost sales over a five-year period, and as much as a $1.3 billion loss in sales over a 10-year period.
Well, historically, when we talk about these trade deals, it seems like we're all grouped together. How do you feel about bilateral?
It's incumbent upon the United States and the administration to aggressively pursue bilateral discussions. And Japan's a good place to start. It's our fourth largest dairy market opportunity for exports.
Tom Vilsack, President and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council.
Friday.
What I call three pillars of a good fresh cow strategy program. The first pillar is going to be the fresh cow ration. In other words, I'm going to develop a ration specifically for those cows from basically zero to about 30 days after calving. The second pillar is graduation day. When does the cow leave the fresh cow group and join the higher producing group? We say it should be at least 10 days to be sure we have healthy cows before moving them. The third pillar is cow comfort. This simply means fresh cow groups, ideally heifers and older cows split, feed bunks with at least 3 feet of space, stalls having at least less than 100% occupancy, less than 90, and ideally sand bedding for cow comfort. So the take-home message is we want to have a good ration, we want to move them into the ration at the right time, and have them comfortable.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.